You know, there is, I think, to a greater degree, an obsession with the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee, more so now than ever before. And every decision seems to hang on interest rates. Federal Reserve Open Market Committee cut interest rates at the last meeting, and so now we can move on and talk about something else. Well, except that that's probably not going to be true. Robert Kaplan is the president and the CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
So why is everybody so obsessed with this, and why do we keep cutting interest rates when the economy is so good?
Well, I think the economy for much of this year has been mixed. Consumer is strong, and that's 70% of the economy. But on the other hand, global growth has been decelerating. Manufacturing is weaker than it's been in 10 years. And business fixed investment is very sluggish. And so the reason for me that I supported the rate cut in July and September, and with some debate, the one in October, is that I've been concerned that if that weakness spreads into other parts of the economy, you could have a more severe slowdown. Having said that, having lowered rates now three times this year, I believe policy setting is about appropriate at this moment.
But I don't know that it works. It seems like nothing works. This tax cut went through, which gave a lot of money to corporations. They seem to use all the money to go buy back stock and raise their dividend. It didn't work for capital expansion. And a lot of individuals, despite the new highs in stocks, a lot of people are just parking money in nothing, money market funds.
So let's differentiate between monetary policy and fiscal and other policies. We've got some real structural issues in this country, which I've been talking about now for 4 years. Aging workforce, slowing workforce growth, productivity issue, I think because of lagging education and skills training. Globalization is an opportunity, but we obviously, I don't need to tell you, we've got sand in the gears of globalization. And so this has been a fragile period. Now, when the tax legislation happened, we publicly talked about our analysis of it, and I said the following. The corporate tax reform might actually improve business investment and domicile. We're not seeing it, but the reason we're not seeing it is because of the trade situation. And the individual tax cut and the bipartisan mega spending bill, we argued at the time, would create a short-term bump and would wear off, which it has, and we'd be down to trend growth. So there's a number of different policies here. At the end of the day, monetary policy, I'm going to work hard to make sure we do our part, but we need policies that grow the workforce, improve education, skills training, improve productivity, and we need to also about $3 trillion in infrastructure. And so if people are a little bit nervous, it's because GDP growth now is in the neighborhood of 1.75% to 2%, and that's what we think it's going to be next year, and that sounds similar to what it was in 15 and 16.
Is it possible there's a lack of confidence? And I don't mean to be trite, but I mean on the part of corporate America, on the part of individuals. You know, we went through hell 10 years ago, and it's still a memory that's fresh in everybody's mind. It seems like people don't want to step out and take a chance.
I think corporations, and I talked about 30 CEOs a month, and we do surveys with hundreds of companies, they're acting, and as a former business person, I'll tell you, they're acting very rationally. They see most businesses I talk to haven't canceled CapEx plans, but they, after that trade threat, particularly against Mexico, about 2 months ago, which would have jeopardized logistics and supply chain arrangements, most businesses I talked to said, listen, we're just going to put it on hold, maybe through this year, maybe through next year. So no, businesses are, it's not that they're afraid to take a risk. They're paid to make intelligent decisions. And with this amount of uncertainty, the intelligent thing to do for them is to put a number of these business investment plans on hold.
So is trade, maybe I can speak in the past tense always, but is that the black swan that really could have done it?
It's not, there are two things going on. First, there's a lot of trade uncertainty. I don't think the trade dispute with China by itself would have caused businesses to cut back, but take the whole trade picture and the fact that every couple of weeks you might wake up and see a new announcement which might cause you to want to change your deployment as a company, and The other big uncertainty that's being created is technology and technology-enabled disruption. It's hard to think of an industry and a business that isn't having to relook at its model because they don't have pricing power, often because of a disruptive competitor. Those two things together are causing businesses to be more careful.
So you have to, I mean, despite the fact that you're domestic, you have to look at international too. And so you've got Brexit, which is still looming and has been for a long time and very disruptive, I think. And Germany, which seems to clearly be in a recession, maybe not formally, but, right. You know, they're probably a month away from announcing that. And the rest of Europe is sort of an afterthought. I mean, France is no great shape. That has an impact on us, doesn't it?
It has a big impact. And this is where trade has an impact on the U.S., but it has a really big impact on Germany, for example, where it's in the low teens percentage of U.S. GDP exports. It's in excess of 40% of German GDP. It's in excess of 20% of Asian GDP. So if you see sand in the gears of global trade, there's a pretty good bet that global growth is going to be decelerating, and in fact it is, and the U.S. is not immune to it. 45% of S&P 500 revenues come from outside the United States.
But before I leave you, let's come back here domestically to your district. Oil prices seem to have stabilized, maybe not where they like them, but at least they seem to be vacillating within a pretty narrow range. Does that help your West Texas friends?
Well, it helps in a lot of ways. So I mentioned business fixed investment is weak. Energy is a part of that story. And that energy investment, I don't need to tell you, has been very sluggish. And there's a much more exertion of capital discipline by investors who say if you're going to spend on CapEx, it needs to come out of cash flow. This is one industry, the energy business, that is directly affected by slowing global growth because they sell a commodity that's priced based on global demand. And so what we're seeing is if global growth stabilizes, and with this recent hopeful signs on trade, it's not surprising that you're seeing a little bit of bump in energy prices. If people think global growth is going to stabilize or improve, you'll see higher energy prices. And if they think global growth is going to continue to decelerate, you're going to see lower energy prices. And that's the dynamic we're watching.
All right, so let me leave by taking you back to your Goldman Sachs days. The old adage, bull markets mature on optimism and die on euphoria. Are we still optimistic?
I don't see a lot of, I'll leave to you to comment on the markets, but I would say I don't see a lot of euphoria. I see a very tight labor market, and I see a mixed picture for businesses that they're working to navigate through, and I think they're doing a good job of it. And so I'd say this is a sober period, and maybe that's a good thing. And I'm hopeful that if we can get some structural reforms and some of the other improvements that we've talked about with appropriate monetary policy, we can at least grow at potential, but potential is 1.75% to 2%.
It looks like we have other things going on in Congress right now that are probably going to bleed their attention. Robert Kaplan is the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thank you, David. Good to talk to you.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Mr. Kaplan, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.